Welcome to U-Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I am back from a couple of two-week trip over in Costa Rica doing a little medical missionary work over there. Thank you for listening, even though you may be listening at our normal time, the time that we normally broadcast. I have pre-recorded this show earlier today. It's usually live from 4 to 5 p.m. on Sundays. It is about 2 p.m. here where I am in Orlando area on Sunday, and I'm pre-recording this show that it might play at 4 to 5. So if you're listening at between 4 to 5 live, then of course you can't call in because this is pre-recorded. My plans are to be back with you live on next week during our regularly scheduled time. We have a very interesting show for you today, but before we get to that, I just want to remind you, you can visit my Facebook page there in facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also visit my Facebook Phase 3 Ministries, P-H-A-S-E, the number 3 Ministries. You can just look it up on Facebook, the Facebook page, and you can find great info, free information on there concerning natural health, natural remedies. And we have an exciting show for you, a very interesting show for you today. And of course, we're going to follow our normal outline. If you're not a common listener, or if this is your first time listening, follow a format where in the first segment we deal with, we call it the Natural Weekend Review, or the Weekend Review, Natural Weekend Review, where we deal with articles that have come out dealing with natural medicine studies, articles, etc., where we try and talk about and present and analyze these particular articles and scientific research that has come out that bears some weight with regard to natural medicine or natural remedies, etc. Sometimes we go even talk about some of the other things that are not that are dangerous with drugs, etc., but it always ties back to natural medicine. Then in our second segment, we deal with the healing foods, and we have a couple of interesting articles with that today. In our third segment, we typically talk about healing supplement or healing herb. And so we have a very interesting show with that respect to you today. I'd like to thank you for listening. Again, we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, I want to say hello to all of my friends over in Costa Rica. Thank you for listening. And wherever you may be listening from around the world, I would just like to thank you for doing so. And we're going to go ahead and get right into our program here. Now, the first article is dated August the 1st. And it's from naturalnews.com. It's a very interesting article. It deals with cancer. And it deals with a study that came out from the University of Michigan. And if you have cancer or you know someone who has cancer, it's very, very important. Even if they've chosen to go the natural way, even if they've chosen to take chemotherapy, this is a very important article that we're going to discuss here. And it's by Mike Adams, the health ranger from Natural News. And he points out in this article that it was a breakthrough in new science conducted at the University of Michigan and about to be published in the journal Nature. And it reveals that intestinal health is actually the key to surviving chemotherapy if you or a loved one or someone you know have chosen to go with chemotherapy. Now, I like to rush to say that 98% of oncologists, even as Mike Adams points out in this article, would choose not to go with oncologists or with chemotherapy, or rather 98%, they realize that chemotherapy does not heal or cure and do anything significant for 98% of all cancers, and the majority of them would not give chemotherapy to their family members or either take it themselves. So it's very important to understand that chemotherapy, if I had cancer, would not be on my radar, and I don't think most natural practitioners are of the same mentality. Now, as Mike Adams continues in this article, he says the study itself is very difficult for lay people to parse, but he goes on to try and break it down. He basically talks about in this particular article, the long and short of it is this: a clinical study gave mice lethal injections of chemotherapy that would pound for pound kill most adult human beings, he points out. And he quotes the study, the author of the study, and as saying, quote, "All tumors from different tissues and organs can be killed by high dosages of chemotherapy and radiation, but the current challenge for treating the later stage metastasized cancer is that you actually kill the patient before you kill the tumor. And so this is something that many people are not told when it comes to chemotherapy. Many people are not told the true dangers of chemotherapy. And many times it is the chemotherapy that kills them before the cancer would have killed them. Not to mention all of the intense suffering that many of them have to undergo. But Adams goes on further in this article, and he says, chemotherapy is deadly. It is the number one cause of death for cancer patients in the United States of America, and the number one side effect of chemo is more cancer, which is something else that a lot of people don't realize, that the number one side effect of the agent chemotherapy is that it actually also causes cancer. So that is interesting. Anyway, he goes on to say that certain mice in this particular study managed to survive these lethal doses of chemotherapy. And then he asked the question about how did they do that. They were injected with a molecule that our body produces naturally. Its production, he says, is engineered right into your genes, and given the right gene expression in an environment of good nutrition, meaning at the cellular environment, he says, you can generate this substance all on your own for 24 hours a day. And he points out that this substance is called RSPO1 or RSPONDIN1. He goes on to point out how it activates stem cell production within your own intestinal walls, and these stem cells are like super tissue generation machines that rebuild damaged tissues faster than the chemotherapy can destroy them, thereby allowing the patient to survive an otherwise deadly dose of chemotherapy poison. He says further in this article that as the study showed, 50 to 75% of the mice who were given the RSPONDIN1 survived the fatal chemotherapy dose. So that's a very, very, very high number, especially in this type of study, that when they were given this RSPONDIN1, were able to survive the deadly dosages, the lethal dosages of chemotherapy. He points out further, Mike Adams does in this article, he says, the problem with chemotherapy, or with the cancer industry today, he says, is that all, and I'm quoting, all the conventional cancer treatments keep killing the patients. This is bad for business, he says. So the purpose of research like the RSPONDIN1 research mentioned here, which was funded by a government grant, is to find ways to keep giving patients deadly doses of high-profit chemotherapy without actually killing them. He says you slap a patient with a dose of RSPONDIN1, sold at $50,000 a dose as a patented drug, of course, dose them up with a fatal injection of chemotherapy, and then thanks to the RSPONDIN1, you get a repeat cancer customer instead of a corpse, end quote. Then he goes on to point out that's called good business practices in the cancer industry, which is so far best known for turning patients into body bags rather than actually curing cancer. And although that may sound harsh, the reality that Mac Adams is talking about here is that is the reality. Whether or not you care for his expression and his straightforwardness, I think we need more of this straightforward type of talk when you have people who are dying. Nevertheless, he goes on to point out in this article that there's a reason, and I'm quoting him, why most oncologists would never undergo chemotherapy themselves, because they know it doesn't work on 98% of all cancers. Then he goes on to point out how probiotics are likely the key to generating your own RSPONDIN1. And he says, before I discuss why these findings are so important for followers of natural health and nutrition, let me first offer a disclaimer. The research mentioned here was conducted on mice, not humans, so it isn't foolproof that the same mechanism works in humans. And nevertheless, he says, the reason mice are used for such research is because they are nearly identical to humans in terms of biology, gene expression, endocrine system function, and more. Adams goes on to say further, he says that even though this study used an injection of RSPONDIN1 as the, quote, activator of gene expression in endothelial cells of the intestinal lining, in reality, your cells already possess the blueprint to produce RSPONDIN1 on their own. He says, in fact, human intestines are coated with a layer of epithelial cells that are regenerated every 45 days in a healthy person. This is only possible through the activation and continued operation of intestinal stem cells, a normal function for a healthy human. Now, he goes on to say further that what determines the health of those stem cells more than anything else is the local environment, which is predominantly determined by gut bacteria. If your gut bacteria are in balance, the gene expression of your epithelial cells is normal and healthy. If your gut bacteria are out of whack, so to speak, he says, the gene expression of your epithelial cells will be suppressed, thereby slowing or halting the regenerative potential of your intestinal cells. And this is why people who have imbalanced intestinal flora also suffer from inflammatory intestinal conditions such as Crohn's, IBS, and so on. And Adams here is actually quite on point with this. Your colon or your gut health, your good bacteria or your good gut bacteria is so very crucial. And enzymes sometimes are necessary. Probiotics, you need those probiotics to make sure you have that good gut bacteria, because there's a warfare going on. And if that bad bacteria is in greater number than your good bacteria, you're going to have problems. And as he points out, you're going to have things such as Crohn's, irritable bowel syndrome, any of the gastrointestinal large bowel problems that we see, as well as small bowel problems that we see. And so it's very, very important to understand how much of your health is related to your gut, to your stomach, to your small intestines, to your large intestines. It's very, very important. Then he goes on to point out something that you've heard me talk about on here on U-Zone Wellness, as when we're talking about those laws of health being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, diet, self-control, and temperance. He goes on to point out, and one of these things that I advocate on here is a plant-based diet. Some of you know it as a vegan diet. I call it a plant-based diet. It's very, very important. Very, very important. And as he points out further in this article, it's extremely important for you if you're sick, especially if you have a disease like cancer. He says in this article, this may also explain why people, and I'm quoting him, who eat large quantities of processed meat, cheese, and dead pasteurized dairy products, especially when combined with starchy carbohydrates and processed sugars, are far more likely to die from chemotherapy than people who eat more plant-based diets. He points out that there isn't yet a source to substantiate his claim, but it's something I've noted from considerable personal observation. And I can add to that, I've noted that as well from dealing with cancer clients and people who've gone to patients, and cancer patients that have gone to doctors that have been sent to me, sent to other naturopaths or herbalists, and you can know that if you have cancer, have been diagnosed with cancer, if you continue to eat dairy products or meat or flesh of any sort, higher amounts of sugar or processed sugar, you are almost literally writing your death certificate, signing it with your teeth. Now, he goes on to point out further that you may have noticed it too among your own family members who have undergone chemotherapy treatments, that those with the worst diets seem to have far greater fatality rates. He says those who consume processed meat and dairy have their intestines filled with fiberless, difficult to digest proteins that are putrefied and sit in the intestines for between 2 to 5 days typically. He says further, dietary sugars and carbohydrates then feed the bacteria fermentation process, resulting in the rapid growth and replication of sugar-feeding bacteria that displace the kind of healthy flora which best protect intestinal wall cells. This imbalance, he suggests, increases susceptibility to chemotherapy toxicity, while simultaneously impairing the ability of the patient to absorb key nutrients that protect healthy cells from the toxicity of chemo drugs. And he said this may explain why patients who heavily consume meat, cheese, and dairy diets tend to die so easily when exposed to chemotherapy. But he goes on to say further, then he talks about how, in this article, how typically when doctors begin to give patients chemotherapy, because the chemotherapy destroys not only the cancer cells, but it also destroys their good cells, primarily the immune system. Because their immune system is being wiped out, doctors have to give them antibiotics. And he talks about in this article how this is even, when you combine the chemotherapy with the antibiotics, how it's almost definitely a death sentence. And he makes a very, very good and compelling argument. He says, although the research did not directly address this question, its findings seem to indicate that the kind of gut bacteria wipeout caused by antibiotics could prove fatal to a chemotherapy patient. And he said that this is especially worrisome because many cancer patients are simultaneously prescribed antibiotics as they undergo chemotherapy. This could be a death sentence in disguise. While neither the antibiotics nor the chemo directly kill the patient, the combination of sterilized gut bacteria and high toxic chemotherapy drugs could multiply the toxicity and prove fatal. The death certificate, however, will say the patient died from cancer, not from the chemotherapy, which is usually the actual cause of death. And he says, yet every single day in America, patients who are taking antibiotics are subjected to multiple courses of chemotherapy. This may quite literally be a death sentence for those patients. And so he makes a very, Mike Adams here, who's the editor and owner of naturalnews.com, makes a very compelling case, argument. I would suggest that you go to naturalnews.com and read that article. The article is entitled, Cancer Breakthrough, Probiotics May Save Patients from Deadly Chemotherapy, Antibiotics May Cause Chemo to Be Fatal. Again, you are listening to U-Zone Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to continue on. We're still in our first segment here, the Weekend Natural News Review segment. We'll be back in just a second.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Thank you for listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me again. We're going to keep moving on here. And our next segment, or rather our next article, is entitled try these, some natural news as well, naturalnews.com. It's entitled, try these four incredible natural treatments for chronic inflammation. Very, very interesting article. And the article starts off by saying, it's written by Jonathan Benson, a staff writer. And he points out something that we've talked about here on U-Zone Wellness in the past, that inflammation in the body can be very devastating. It is the foundation for many serious diseases. And in this article, the author starts off by talking about how a lingering immune response, which is inflammation, is caused by poor diet as well as other factors, and that if left unchecked, it can damage a number of important systems throughout the body. And he points out the systems that can be damaged by chronic inflammation, or your endocrine or your system, which deals with your hormones, your central immune, your central nervous system, your immune system, your digestive system, your cardiovascular system, and respiratory system, to name the most common. And he points out further that all are threatened by chronic inflammation, which ultimately has the potential to manifest itself as literally hundreds of different diseases. And he quotes Ann Underwood, a reporter in Newsweek, in a report that she wrote back in 2005, she says, researchers are linking inflammation to an ever wider array of chronic illnesses. She said, suddenly medical puzzles seem to be fitting together, such as why hypertension puts patients at increased risk of Alzheimer's, or why rheumatoid arthritis sufferers have higher rates of sudden cardiac death. They're all connected on some fundamental level. And he argues and points out in this article why it is that inflammation plays such a big part in these diseases. The author says, so what can you do to help fight the pandemic tide of chronic inflammation, which is said to be responsible for causing up to 80% of all doctor visits in America? And he points out four amazing natural treatments that science continues to show possess unique anti-inflammatory properties without causing any harmful side effects. And the four that he mentioned that we're going to talk about here, and this can almost kind of blend in to a great extent to our final segment, dealing with healing herbs and healing supplements. And the first one he mentions is something, an herb that I've talked about on here before on more than one occasion. And that herb is supplement is curcumin or turmeric. And he points out here that there are, and which is true, there are hundreds of published studies that demonstrate turmeric's amazing anti-inflammatory benefits. Curcumin is believed to be, widely believed to be, the primary active ingredient in the substance turmeric, and that has been shown to help treat and prevent all kinds of conditions like indigestion, prostatitis, osteoarthritis, Crohn's disease, Alzheimer's disease, as well as a number of others. And he points that out. And again, I've talked about curcumin or turmeric on the show before. If you want to know more about it, you can go back and listen to some of the other shows in our archives here, right on demand, right here at, if you're listening at blogtalkradio.com/nextlevelwellness is what our show title is on here. At any rate, he points out further in this article, quote, "In fact, by directly modulating inflammatory cytokine levels inside the body, turmeric actually helps protect against a vast array of debilitating illnesses, including heart disease and cancer." Again, here you have turmeric. Then he cites Jack Chalom in his book, The Inflammation Syndrome, and he says, quote, "What distinguishes curcumin is its ability to reduce inflammation through at least 97 different biological mechanisms." Then he also says further, quoting Jack Chalom in his book, The Inflammation Syndrome, Your Nutrition Plan for Great Health, Weight Loss, and Pain-Free Living. He says, "To date, no other substance has been discovered or developed with such far-reaching anti-inflammatory benefits." Again, that is curcumin or turmeric. The next one that we're going to talk about that he mentions in this article is a herb called boswellia or frankincense. And he points out how similarly the boswellia plant from which the aromatic resin frankincense is derived contains powerful anti-inflammatory compounds known as boswellic acids. And he points out how these substances inhibit the activity of leukotrienes, which is a type of white blood cell, which are inflammation-causing chemicals in the body. Studies have shown that taking, he says, boswellia can help treat osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, and asthma, among other conditions. So again, because these herbs have been shown to deal with the underlying cause of many diseases, being chronic inflammation, because they can work on the underlying cause, then the outlying cause being whatever disease is the foundation of that inflammation can be eradicated or reduced. Next, he points out spirulina. He points out that this is a food that's becoming very, very, very popular. It's called a superfood. And he points to how this blue-green microalgae variety is poised to become one of the next big things as a superfood, and it's actually already pretty significantly known or considered in the natural health community, spirulina, that is. He points out how the anti-inflammatory properties of spirulina are already well-established and continue to be affirmed by major studies, including a 2012 study published in the Journal of Clinical Biochemistry and Nutrition. He points out how this particular study found that spirulina helps modulate a number of transcription factors linked to causing inflammation, effectively exerting antioxidant and anti-inflammatory activity whenever it is consumed. So that is another benefit of three of you have anti-inflammatory natural substances of herbs that we've considered that have been shown not only in common everyday usage in natural practice, but also usage in scientific studies, proof from scientific studies rather, to be very, very beneficial for inflammation, for dealing with inflammation. Lastly, he notes vitamin D. We've talked about vitamin D, and I've talked about vitamin D3, the top form being from the sun, secondarily being from a high-end supplement, especially if you can get it a liquid supplement, vitamin D3. But again, the top supplement that you're going to get in terms of quality is going to be from the sunshine. Secondarily, you can go from a supplement. But vitamin D3, we've talked about on here, we've done entire shows and segments on D3 alone. It's a crucial, crucial vitamin. The Creator has given it to everyone free of charge. That should let us know how valuable it is to our health. And as the author points out here, Jonathan Benson, the author points in this article, he says, is there anything a little natural sunlight exposure every day cannot cure, he asks. One of the easiest and most powerful ways to prevent inflammation-related disease is with vitamin D, which is naturally produced in the body as a result, of course, of exposure to ultraviolet B radiation, UVB, and it's crucial for quelling chronic inflammation. Hundreds of peer-reviewed studies show that a lack of vitamin D, which can also be obtained through high-quality vitamin D3 supplements, as I noted earlier, is associated with hundreds, yes, hundreds of illnesses ranging from autism to cancer. And then the author quotes Elena Govina, author of a 2012 study that found vitamin D supplementation can help cure chronic inflammation. She says, quoting her, patients with chronic inflammatory diseases such as their asthma, arthritis, and prostate cancer who are vitamin D deficient may benefit from vitamin D supplementation to get their serum vitamin D levels above 30 nanograms per milliliter. So here we have again four substances that I would highly, highly recommend. I've seen a lot of people over in Costa Rica and they were there doing consultations. And during the course of the consultation, I found that many, many people have symptoms of inflammation. And I suspect that over here in the U.S., you also have very many people who are suffering from various degrees of inflammation. And chronic inflammation is something that is very common. I see it very commonly. And I would highly, highly suggest that you begin to get your level of vitamin D3 in the sunshine. Or if you live in an area where you're not getting a lot of sunshine now, start taking the vitamin D3 supplements. Take spirulina, take boswellia, take curcumin or turmeric. Exercise, drink plenty of water. Don't stress. Get to bed at a reasonable hour. Ideally no later than 10 p.m. And just be temperate in all things. Watch your diet. All these things, the combination of these things are what contribute significantly to creating an internal environment where you are on fire, literally, but you're in inflammation. And so at this point, we're going to move over to our next segment. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about a healing food. And we've talked about this before, garlic. And we're going to be talking about garlic a little bit more. New things come out, different angles come out on garlic. But there is actually a lot of data available. Even on my website, I have an article on garlic, and I call it God's Antibiotic. There's just so much information out there on things like garlic. It's so inexpensive. It's so effective. It's essentially a broad-spectrum antibiotic. And we talk about just six ways that you can use it for your health. First, let me just explain a little bit here. One of the active ingredients, compounds in garlic, disulfide, is actually able to break through the tough membranes of bacteria. And it can do so better and faster than some of these powerful antibiotics, which have dangerous side effects. And it can do so without the side effects that you might get from Cipro, Flox, and some of these other powerful antibiotics. In fact, if you look at some of the science behind it, comparative analysis was done in two separate studies using raw garlic extracts on two types of food poisoning bacteria. So eating garlic can actually prevent most food poisoning bugs from sending you to the hospital. So that's how powerful this God-given natural broad-spectrum antibiotic can be. In another study, a test was done that demonstrated garlic's ability to minimize diabetes issues. In fact, it was determined in this study that garlic influenced insulin activity rather than directly lowering the blood sugar. So instead of it going in and lowering your body's blood sugar per se, it actually worked upon the body to produce more insulin, or rather to influence the activity of the insulin so that insulin can get those cells opening so that those cells can get that, or that glucose can find entrance into those cells instead of flowing around in the blood. And in fact, in a case fighting off food poisoning, I'm sorry. Now, if you weren't impressed, there are many other things that garlic can do if you weren't impressed at its ability to actually fight off food poisoning. And just as a point, it can do that better than pharmaceutical antibiotics without the side effects. So let's talk about another thing that garlic can do. It actually has the ability to wipe out bacteria, one bacteria called Yersinia pestis, which is actually the bacteria that caused the bubonic plague or Black Death. Now that's very, very amazing when you think about it, how you have this a food, essentially, a healing food is what we're talking about, that had the ability to render the bacteria that caused the Black Plague ineffective. And so therefore, by consuming garlic daily, you can actually provide your body with prophylactic or preventive protection, not just cure, but prevention of these diseases. Now, garlic has known to many healthy natural health practitioners and even users that it's very, very beneficial for cardiovascular health. And when we were talking about one of the issues with cardiovascular health being inflammation, it would make sense the way that garlic works in the body that it could deal with inflammation, because many times inflammation are caused by bacteria or viruses, and seeing as how garlic kills bacteria or viruses, it could also help, it would stand to reason, with inflammation, etc. Now, again, cardiovascular health is enhanced with garlic. It actually has demonstrated itself to be able to lower blood pressure as well as homocysteine counts. Now, the homocysteine levels are considered stronger markers in your body for heart disease problems than even cholesterol counts. And garlic has been able to lower these homocysteine levels. Also, let's look a little bit about how it works with cholesterol. Garlic dampens cholesterol oxidation, and which actually causes most of the problems is generally blamed on cholesterol itself. And cholesterol in your body that's not oxidized is important for building your nerve and brain tissue, as well as serving as the first level of converting of that sunlight that we were talking about earlier, the UVB sun rays, to vitamin D3. So limiting cholesterol oxidation makes more sense than limiting cholesterol itself. So this is where you hear a lot of natural health care professionals and other people saying this idea that cholesterol is too high might not be specifically accurate. Of course, we must do all things in temperance. In temperance, remembering the law, health law of temperance. But could it be that many times what we're saying cholesterol is too high simply means that because of the way we're eating and not exercising, etc., the cholesterol that should be behaving in a positive fashion is behaving in a negative fashion within our bodies. It is not being able to be used to the extent that the Creator intended to be used within our bodies. And again, we also know, however, that we don't want to eat cholesterol. The body produces the HDL, the good cholesterol, and that's the cholesterol that our Creator intended us to use for health. Now, when we begin to eat cholesterol, of course, we're going to get into an issue of having animal cholesterol, bad cholesterol, because you're taking the cholesterol that their bodies produce, and you're taking it into your body, and you're taking it, and your body is not designed to use more cholesterol than the Creator designed it to use, and especially from different sources that are not human. Now, also when you're dealing with garlic dilates your blood vessels, and it can actually help to lower your blood pressure. It also actually removes triglycerides. It dissolves internal clots and arterial plaque, and it also prevents oxidation of important lipids that actually lead to cellular destruction. All of this garlic can do without one side effect. Garlic can also function as a blood thinner. While some say it is adaptogenic because it allows clotting when needed, even while thinning. That's something that even aspirin cannot do. As we look at garlic a little further, we have to consider also that it is a powerful antioxidant, and it actually boosts or bolsters your immune system. Not only that, it also fights cancer. So if you think about it for a second, several compounds other than garlic's antibiotic allicin, including sulfur, selenium, and other substances that are in garlic actually contribute to cancer cell death or cell suicide, which cancer cells don't normally like to do. So, this garlic is literally a powerhouse drug. Yes, it's a natural drug. I don't even like to use the term drug, but it's a very, very powerful natural substance that has an amazing ability upon the body. And so, again, now we'll move on to our second healing food. And I have a little a study here with respect to that. And this study is from Harvard, and it was reported in Mother Jones, the publication of Mother Jones, and the health editor Tom Philpott reported on a late 2012 Harvard study that associated high carotenoid consumption with elevated moods. And basically, essentially, the study involved a cross-sectional association between reported optimism and serum concentrations of antioxidants and carotenoids among 982 men and women from a midlife in the United States study. Basically, in a nutshell, the long and short of this study was that by eating kale, it can actually lift your mood. It almost acts as an antidepressant. And in this particular article, dealing with the Harvard School of Public Health study, that mood reports were conducted with the LOTR Life Orientation Test, a short 10-question psychological research test, not meant for clinical applications that allows for different predetermined levels of answering. And basically, the fasting blood samples had to be taken for antioxidant and carotenoid serum levels. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation funded the study. And to make a long story short, it pointed out that by eating kale, it can actually help you feel better. The article said further that according to the Linus Pauling Institute, carotenoids can be broadly classified into two classes, carotenes, alpha-carotene, beta-carotene, and lycopene. I'm just scanning the study very quickly here. And they point out also that all green veggies, including kale, are high in certain beneficial carotenoids, etc., and that while orange and red fruits and vegetables are high in alpha-carotene and beta-carotene, both are precursors to vitamin A. Vitamin A toxicity can actually occur from too many supplements, but food-based alpha or beta-carotene vitamins A production diminishes as the body establishes sufficient vitamin A. And it basically goes on to show or to describe or point out how eating kale, which is in the cabbage family, can actually help us feel better, which would translate over to being essentially a natural antidepressant. Now, there was another one, if I can pull it up here, I want to deal with, and it was dealing with cabbage. And this is some research that was from Dr. Morcola, Morcola at Morcola.com. And he points out, and we're still talking about healing foods, and he asked the question, some people may ask, what is cabbage good for? Dr. Mercola goes on to point out that the more accurate question might be, what isn't it good for? As it's one of the most potent medicinal foods available, and he points out that including cabbage as a regular part of your diet is crucial. He says that cabbage contains powerful antioxidants like vitamins A and C and phytonutrients such as thiocyanates, lutein, etc., etc., etc. He also points out that the George Melajan Foundation noted, without sufficient intakes of antioxidants, our oxygen metabolism can become compromised and we can experience a metabolic problem called oxidative stress. Chronic oxidative stress in and of itself can be a risk factor for the development of cancer. Now, incidentally, usually when people are treating cancer naturally, cabbage is going to play a big role in their treatment of cancer. Cabbage juice normally. Cabbage is also very, very beneficial for drawing inflammation out of sprains and bruises, etc. And Dr. Mercola points out further. He says you need some level of inflammation in your body to stay healthy. However, it's also possible and increasingly common for the inflammatory response to get out of hand. If your immune system mistakenly triggers an inflammatory response, when no threat is present, it can lead to significant inflammation-related damage to the body, a condition linked to cancer and other diseases, depending on which organs the inflammation is impacting. As I said that earlier, when we were talking about inflammation. But he points out further that cabbage contains a wealth of anti-inflammatory nutrients to help keep inflammation in check. Among them, he says, are anthocyanins, a type of polyphenol that's particularly plentiful in red cabbage, although all types of cabbage contain anti-inflammatory polyphenols. He also talked about glucosinolates, and I'm not going to go into the technical side of it. He also points out how cabbage is rich in vitamin K1 and B vitamins. He points out that one serving of cabbage can actually provide you with 85% of your body's daily requirement of vitamin K, which deserves a special mention because many people are deficient in this vitamin. He says vitamin K1 is a fat-soluble vitamin, most well known for the important role it plays in blood clotting and bone metabolism, but it's also a known Alzheimer's disease preventative by helping to limit neuron damage in your brain. Again, that's vitamin K1. And it's vitamin K1. Cabbage is very rich in vitamin K1. He goes on to point out how cabbage also contains healthy amounts of B vitamins, including folate, which is better than the synthetic form known as folic acid, found in many supplements. Also, it contains B6, B1, B5. We've talked about the B vitamins on here. We had an entire series on the importance of B vitamins, what they're good for, how to recognize deficiencies, etc. But they're crucially important. He also, Dr. Mercola, points out how B vitamins are not only important for energy, they may also slow brain shrinkage by as much as sevenfold in brain regions specifically known to be most impacted by Alzheimer's disease. He goes on to point out further that cabbage juice is one of the most healing nutrients for ulcer repair, as it is a huge source of vitamin U, which is actually not a vitamin but an enzyme. And as well as research shows that vitamin U administered as raw cabbage juice is effective in promoting the rapid healing of peptic ulcers. And not only that, cabbage juice is one of the strongest stimulants for your body to produce acid. And as Dr. Mercola points out how this is a good thing, as many people have low stomach acid, which is the cause of their digestive problems and will significantly increase the risk of infection. And he points out having a few teaspoons of cabbage juice before eating, or better yet, fermented cabbage juice. I wouldn't recommend taking fermented cabbage juice. But he talks about, I would say, take the regular cabbage juice without it being fermented. And so those are just some of the benefits of cabbage. But we all, as we talked about, kale being in the family of cabbage, has also been shown to help lift your spirits, help you not feel, if you were feeling depressed, to feel better. And again, it's a very, very, very beneficial cabbage. I highly recommend its use. Now, we're here, you're listening to U-Zone Wellness. We're not going to take a break here. We'll probably end a little shorter today than normal because we're going to go into our final segment here. And our final segment is our healing supplement, healing herb segment. And I want to talk about one of the herbs that I talked about during the herbs that I spoke about when we were talking about inflammation in our Week in Natural News Review segment. And I mentioned Boswellia, and it's one that's it's shown to be very, very effective. I've seen it is one of the ingredients in the very, very effective product called Pain RX. Boswellia, there's some more ingredients in it like willow bark, but Boswellia, usually anything you see for pain or inflammation that contains Boswellia is usually relatively a good product if it contains the right amounts and pure. But let's talk a little bit more about Boswellia as we go into our final segment on our healing herbs and healing supplement. Now, actually, Boswellia, the herb Boswellia, is a large branching tree. Or Boswellia is actually a large branching tree. And it stands about 12 feet high, and it's normally found in the dry, hilly places over in India. And the extract of the gummy resin is taped from the tree trunk, and it's used in a lot of our modern herbal preparations. Now, Boswellia is one of the most ancient and respected herbs in Ayurvedic medicine or healing. And again, Ayurvedic medicine or the medicine is the natural medicine from India. It's actually one of the most it's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, and in terms of records outside of the Bible, since we've said that the original healing actually comes from the Bible, but in terms of herbal as a codified system, that in terms of where we're able to number, is considered one of the oldest or the oldest. And researchers and clinicians are actually finding that boswellia, as I said earlier, is a very potent anti-inflammatory as well as anti-arthritic herb, and it's a pain reliever without any side effects. But let's look at some of the health conditions that boswellia has been used for, and keep in mind that we were talking about inflammation earlier and the importance of inflammation and staying away from inflammation or controlling inflammation. Let's look at it in terms of arthritis. For instance, there are laboratory studies that have shown that boswellic acids, which are the active compounds in boswellia, can actually deactivate the hormonal triggers for inflammation and pain in osteoarthritis. So that's pretty significant. It's pretty interesting too. And the research shows that these acids effectively can shrink inflamed tissue by stimulating the growth of cartilage, can increase the blood supply to inflamed joints, and it can enhance the repair of local blood vessels damaged by inflammation. So here's one of the reasons why it's so powerful in easing pain caused by inflammation, because it can actually deactivate the hormonal triggers for inflammation and pain in osteoarthritis. So that's very significant. And then add to that it has no side effects. There also have been clinical studies using boswellia that have yielded good results in both osteoarthritis as well as rheumatoid arthritis. And we know rheumatoid arthritis is actually an autoimmune disease or disorder. There have been several studies that have reported a dramatic improvement within 2 weeks to a month with regard to these in helping osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. In fact, experimental and clinical usage of boswellia indicate that it does not produce any side effects such as irritation or ulcers and effects on your heart rate or your blood pressure. And these are some of the side effects that are associated with most anti-inflammatory and anti-arthritic drugs. Those are, you know, there's a trade-off when you use drugs, but when we use the creator's remedies, you don't see that same kind of trade-off there. It's necessary. Now, something else that boswellia has been used for is dry, chapped, mature skin, because boswellia actually, and I'm sure a lot of ladies listening would be happy to hear this, it actually rejuvenates the skin by encouraging new cells to develop. It also helps oil production if you have dry skin. Finally, it also, ulcerative colitis has been used to help ulcerative colitis. In fact, there was one double-blind study that was reported that boswellia may be helpful for ulcerative colitis, and a recommended dosage of 400 milligrams standardized to contain 37.5% of the resin 3 times a day. The full effect may take as long as 4 to 8 weeks, according to the study, to develop. And so, again, like I said earlier, few to no side effects have been reported with boswellia. And it can actually, as I said earlier, it can actually stimulate your blood circulation, but you should not use it if you're pregnant. And if you are pregnant, you should consult with a natural practitioner, or herbalist, or naturopathic doctor, or even a medical doctor who is trained and experienced in natural remedies and herbs, to know what herbs you can actually take if you're pregnant or nursing. In general, there are a few herbs that you can take when you're pregnant and nursing. In general, though, you should always consult with a qualified, competent professional in this area. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to call that a show for today. We're ending a few minutes earlier than normal. Again, if you're listening, I thank you for listening. You have been listening to a pre-recorded version of the show. I'm recording it earlier than our normal time, 4 to 5 p.m. on Sunday's afternoon. I do plan to be back with you live next week. Thank you for listening. Be sure that to share these recordings and this website with your friends. visit the website, read the information, apply it, and if you do so, with the blessing of your Creator, you will have good health, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Have a good day, and God bless.